currency today.
Yes.
You know, that the only way I know that I matter is if I broadcast myself. I was talking to my buddy last night. We were laughing at suddenly there's a, well, not suddenly, but there's a vast proliferation of people who fancy themselves hosts of shows in their own homes. They do unboxing videos. Hey guys, they always start out with, hey guys, today we're going to be opening this new pen that I got. And they hold it up to the camera, and all these things that they've learned from watching TV.
Right.
And, you know, they think, well, this is easy. I can do this.
Yeah.
And they do it. And it's monetized.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Before we get to my guest this week, I am out on the road with my show Permission to Speak. Going to be in Milwaukee at the Marcus Center, October 19th, Saturday. It's a show directed by Frank Oz. We've been having a great time doing it. If you're in the area, come on out. There will be cheese curds in it for you. I'm your man when it comes to cheese curds. I'm in Milwaukee as we speak. And I hope you guys can make it. And my guest this week is a recurring guest on my show, Steven Weber. Great actor, known from Wings and Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he's in, plays Dr. Dean Archer in Chicago Med. And we talk a little bit about Chicago Med, but then we got off on a really cool tangent, and he's really funny, and I love having the guy on, and we've become fast friends, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. And so before you listen to him, keep in mind, come see my show, follow me on social media, I'm having a great time doing the show. We're getting stories from people, just talking to them about their lives. Like, I had a woman, I asked her what her name was, and she said, Nydia. I said, Lydia with an L? She goes, no, Nydia with an N. I go, that's a unique name. How'd you get that name? That's all I said. She goes, well, my father got my mother pregnant with me, but at the same time was having an affair with a woman named Nydia, and he named me after the woman he was having an affair with. So, yes, an oh my God moment. That came from my show, Permission to Speak. We've been just getting these incredible stories from people, just talking to them about their lives and having a lot of laughs. And I hope you guys can check it out. We're going to be in November 23rd. We're going to be in Annapolis, Maryland. We're going to the United Theater in Westerly, Rhode Island. It's going to be March 2025. We're going to Orlando, the Dr. Phillips Center in January, and the Broward Center for the Performing Arts in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, also in January. So go to my website, paulmecurio.com. Check out all the dates. More coming. And enjoy Steven Weber. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My guest, returning guest, a terrific actor who is currently starring. I mean, you know him from everything. Wings, All Dogs Go to Heaven. But now doing this amazing The Shining. He can do it all. He plays Dr. Dean Archer on the NBC drama Chicago Med, which you can see Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time on NBC. Hey, Stephen, great to have you back on the show. How's everything?
Everything's good, Paul. It's so funny. I realize, I look, I'm not bragging. I've been around a long time. But when you say credits that are like 30 years old or, you know, a cartoon, I'm thinking I'm going to start including, I did A Christmas Carol in the third grade, and also an adaptation of Where the Wild Things Are in second grade. I'm going to put that in.
I'm going to redo this. I didn't mean to insult you like that. I'll retake this.
It's not an insult. It's hilarious. No, it's great. I forget it.
Well, here's the thing. You're so well known that I didn't even, I kind of write up notes and stuff. I just felt like subconsciously everybody knows you because you've been in everything and you're so great. So I'm not doing a show business thing here. So, but I would like to hear your fourth grade Iceman Cometh rendition. Anyway.
We did that in rep with King Lear. And let me tell you, it was hard. It was hard because most of us still couldn't pronounce certain words or read really. It was really difficult.
Yeah,
we got murdered in the trades.
they just ripped these little kids to shreds. That's hilarious.
That's right.
There's a lot I want to talk to you about. Let's talk about Chicago Med, obviously, first. And you're in season 10, and which is so great. And you, what storylines did you guys want to get out in season 10. I mean, there's so many, both on, you know, your, with your character, but there's relationship stuff, there's confrontations, there's all of this romance. So were there sort of, when you're sort of mapping this out at the beginning of the year, as I know you're not a writer, but maybe you interact with the writers, what was it that you guys wanted to kind of hit on some of the highlights?
Well, to that point, that I'm basically just a pawn that's moved around. Basically, the writers and actually the producers wanted to take a different tack this year and make the show less, I don't know, for lack of a better word, soapy. Mm. And they've been endeavoring to go a little deeper into the personal lives of the characters in a more, in a grittier and more realistic way. You know, there's a temptation on these shows to get beautiful people together, and everybody says, oh, are those characters going to get together or whatever? And again, these are soapy expectations, which would be a great name for a book, Soapy Expectations.
Yes.
Or my line of skincare, my line of skincare.
And you can voice the book, because I know you've been doing that, and I know you have a lot of experience doing that. So you could do it with, you know, the Steven Weber pizzazz that you have as you make audiobooks, you know?
Hi, Steven Weber. Welcome to Soapy Expectations. I hope you're not in a lather as I gather all my my things together, my implements of love.
Can I just add to that real quick? I'm sorry. Can you and I agree?
Go.
To either write, direct, and or star in a porn film called Soapy Expectations. There's so many.
It's like Soapy Expectations. Yeah.
Triple X.
Yes, but it would be triple X, but also it would be also oddly accessible, because there wouldn't be any kind of genitals shown at all. It would be like if I had to be a porn guy, I'd be called the fingerer, you know, and that way I would never have to ever show, you know, my nether region, but I would just highlight my digital skills.
Right.
Is that horrible?
No, I mean, I think I could just see someone going, oh, that's Steven Weber's knuckle. I know that's Steven Weber. I know that.
That's right. That's his telltale knuckle. Look at it.
Nobody.
Look at it. Look how they shoot it. Look how they photograph it. It's incredible.
It's like a Fellini film.
That's right. Horrible.
So
what happened to sex? It's been messed up by human beings. Human beings should just stop the sex thing. It's awful.
Well, Europeans have a very different view of sex than we do. They're less prudish, and it's a more freeing. My brother-in-law and his family live in Denmark, and you talk to them about relationships and monogamy. It's a whole different animal. And I keep trying to tell my wife we should move there for that reason, but she keeps saying no. I don't know why.
but interestingly, yeah. Look, I have, I guess, European connections. You know, my wife is English, and my mother-in-law lives in the south of France, and so I've been there a bunch. Mm. And just in general, I think they don't feel the need to immediately commodify everything. You know, that I whether it's food or sex or history or culture, or, you know, which is why I don't know. I'm digressing to this, but when I go to Europe, maybe do you notice this too? People who work at, say, toll booths or road crews, quite frequently are beautiful looking, and that if they were in America, they would never think of working on a road crew or toll booth. They'd immediately say, I'm going to be a model or an actor or an actress.
Yes.
But in Europe, they don't, that's not their first impulse to I'm going to make money off my beauty. No, they say, oh no, here's a job available, and I think I could do it for a little while until I become, you know, the person who I want to be, which has nothing to do with exploiting my looks or trying to be famous, if you know what I mean.
And I've always said, you're a handsome man. I could see you working at a toll booth the rest of your life. I've always said that about you. People thought I was crazy, but...
Well, I tell you, I'd be the best looking toll booth taker, you know, and on the Sunrise Highway, wherever there's toll booths anymore. I mean... I don't know. Look, one of my favorite jobs I ever had was as a dishwasher.
Yeah.
Because my goals were simple, I was good at it, and I was occasionally rewarded with a beer and a plate of fish that the chef would make during the breaks.
My father put floors in for a living, and he was a contented man. You know, they liked the floors, that the customer was happy. He came home, and I even say, like, and you know, this work in this business can be, you know, very stressful and crazy and all that. And there's sometimes I say to my wife, you know what? And I don't mean this in a demeaning way. I just want to be a night security guard somewhere on the midnight to 7 shift.
Yeah.
You walk around with a flashlight, you check things out. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to sign anybody in. And then you go home. Like, because people can be exhausting. And to your point about Europe, we saw this firsthand because my wife's brother was studying abroad. He went to BU. He was studying furniture making. He went to Denmark, met this young girl. They started dating. They marry. He moves to Denmark. And he had to shift his expectations because in America, it's like, capitalism and go and go. And there in Denmark, right, especially, it's about like quality of life. Like, we work our 40 hours, but, and we're happy with a sort of modest middle, upper middle class house and a Mazda and a Volkswagen instead of, you know, a Porsche and a Mercedes and whatever. And they have a great life. They don't want for anything, but he had to kind of recalibrate his thinking. And it took him a few years because he was so like, got to go to the next thing. He was that American thing that we do, you know?
Right. I think it's fascinating. I really do. And I always admire, in particularly people like actors or in show business who've also had that added component of affirmation, of celebrity, fame, perks, things that you don't find in most other or in any other job or profession, you know, in this country. And so when people leave our industry for a so-called normal life, that's got to be probably the hardest thing to kind of wean yourself off. I can't imagine a life now where I'm not hoping that people will recognize me so I can get a nice table at a restaurant, which is to say that I don't fly coach or wash dishes or any of that stuff. I mean, or take the garbage out. I do that. But there's a peculiarly American expectation that I think that's warped people to the point where a lot of them forget that there's a life where you don't have to pursue these kind of capitalistic goals to the point of distraction. Yeah. I was just in Amsterdam this year for the first time, and it was gorgeous. And people ride bikes and they're not worried and they're not, you know, they're not freaked out or hyper competitive. And it's disconcerting and disappointing in a way. I wish more people, had those pursuits.
And you talk about this business, that this business is a hustle. You know, I was a lawyer. I was an M&A corporate lawyer and then quit to go into comedy and acting and all that good stuff. And This business is so specifically a hustle, right? And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's like getting the next thing and that goes away and getting the next thing. And yeah, you do that in real life. And as a lawyer, you want to get new business for the firm and whatever, but it's a different kind of thing. It's not the same. And I think being in this business as a writer or a performer or whatever it might be, producer, director, it's this thing that we're talking about in America of like, got to get the next thing, but it's amped up in our business. I think it's just the nature of it. And it's hard to disconnect from that. Sometimes when you're just away from it or trying to take a vacation or just relaxing. And so I can only imagine what it'll be like if, and when we retire, you know, like, because I think this is a uniquely driven kind of endeavor that we're in.
I agree. And the celebrity aspect of it has become a goal in and of itself. It'd be like, Freud or, you know, I'm trying to be obscure here, like, any sort of scientist or academic or that their goal wasn't truth or facts, but their goal was to be famous. And they're, you know, you know what I'm saying? It's too early for me to string together words, but basically fame has become a a viable
Just look at media influencers, like so social media influencers. Like I have a Broadway show that we're taking out that Frank Oz is directing, and we're taking it out on tour now. It's a show where I bring audience members on stage randomly and talk to them about their lives, because I found that people have amazing stories, and it's all improvised. Right. And the premise of the show is we're nameless, faceless, disconnected, and divisive. But if we get together and share stories, realize we have more in common than we think. We're all in this boat together, and maybe we don't have to be so divisive.
Yeah.
It's not a political show. And Frank really resonated. The show resonated with him because he's like, we need a show like this now. We need a show because he's right. Right. Mm-hmm. But my point is sort of in talking to people and making these connections, you realize that the people out there kind of really do want to be more connected than we are, but they either don't have the opportunity or don't know how, or they have this idea. So like someone said to me, you can promote the show through a social media influencer and you pay them $10,000 and they'll post stuff about your show. And I go, I look up these people, and nothing against them and great, but like their whole existence is their existence. Like they exist to exist.
And that's right.
And God bless them, but I don't blame them if they could capitalize that and make money off of it, but that's the system we're in now. And that's what's scary.
Right. But pardon the pun, if it is a pun, but that's the currency today.
Yes.
You know, that the only way I know that I matter is if I broadcast myself. I was talking to my buddy last night. We were laughing at there's a vast proliferation of people who fancy themselves hosts of shows in their own homes. They do unboxing videos. Hey guys, they always start out with, "Hey guys, today we're going to be opening this new pen that I got," and they hold it up to the camera, and all these things that they've learned from watching TV,
right?
And you know, they think, "Well, this is easy. I can do this."
Yeah,
and they do it, and it's monetized. One of the weird moments that I'll never forget was that at the advent of the home video camera, I remember Francis Coppola getting on and saying, "This is great because now everybody can be a filmmaker." And now I think, "Oh shit, everybody's a filmmaker." You know, there's nothing special about it. You don't need to learn about it.
Right.
You don't need to sit through, you know, years of study. You don't need to watch Kurosawa films you can just do it.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but it's really not okay. Now everything is watered down, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I think
I'm whining.
No, I think we're totally the same mindset on this. I think, you know, we've created a culture, and you can't blame the dog for eating the food that's on the floor. It's a dog. Take the food off the floor. My point is, like, you can't blame people for taking advantage of a fucked up, warped system with fucked up, warped values, right? Like, why would I want to go to college and graduate school and work my ass off when I can sit there? You know, I have a social media person, blah, 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 because I have to, and they do my stuff. And they're like, "Well, there's this person, you know, there's these YouTubers," and I go and I start looking, and this one young woman has 2.5 million subscribers. I work on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I think we have like 3.8 million. Okay, that's the perspective, right? And that's like the number one show in late night, whatever. I go and I look at this young woman. Her whole effing video, like series, is, "Hey, it's Amanda. So I like to start my day with like some fresh avocado. And I'm waiting, I'm waiting now for the thing, right? Then I gotta brush my teeth. Now I like the tape floss," and then she's flossing. And then 10 minutes in, my wife's like, "Why are you screaming at the TV?" So I'm going, "Is this it? Is this all this is?" And I'm screaming at the TV. And it's that's where we are now. That's where we are now.
It's a downside of technology. It approximates what we already have. We already have the ability to research things. We already have the ability to connect. It's called walking outside or going to a library. It's called reading a book. It's called going to a town square. It's called going to the beach.
Yeah.
It's called all of these things.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, the whole VR aspect of it and or AI, if you're homebound or, you know, have no arms or legs or something like that, which, yeah. Hey, I'm not putting down. That could be great. I have to watch myself. It's a good tool, but right. There's something that feels like Americans are just addicted to toys and tools and the idea of leisure. Now, you know, we're talking like a couple of New Yorker types or whatever, or urban types, and we're jaded showbiz types. But when I do travel, and I travel a bit, I'm always surprised by actually how good it really is, how not bad things are as I imagine them to be, that there are good people. There are people who are out there living lives in kind of healthy ways, that they do right. talk, they do read, they do connect. They are actively political. They're not just screaming from their basements on their laptops, you know. And I think it's better than I think it is. But I worry about this stuff. It's just it's like a waste of time. Come on, we're it's a quarter till dead. Let's get going. Let's stop shitting all over the place.
I know. Stephen, I think we've just fixed the world's problems. This has been great. We did it in 20 minutes. Chicago Med, Wednesdays.
Wow.
8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time on NBC. We will talk again soon, I'm sure. This is fantastic. Thank you.
I hope so, but you need to pay me. You understand? Pay me money.
I will. I promise. Take care. See you, buddy.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. There you go. Team Weber, awesome dude. Going to have him on again. Hope you guys can check out my shows. I'm on tour, paulmercurio.com, and stay out of trouble. We'll see you next week, everybody.